You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Mr. Joseph Collins. And I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy. And as always, we have another amazing show today. And you're joining us on our TGIF episode of Changing the Conversation. And what exactly does that mean? On TGIF Fridays, you never know what we're going to say, who's going to be a guest, who's going to call in, and what kind of surprises we have in store for you. But we're going to get started shortly on our show. Right now, our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, he's going to be jumping in momentarily, but right now he is at the studio in Santa Fe Springs. They're doing a casting call for the host of our television show, The Hollywood Punch Report. If you're interested in being cast in any of our shows, you want to be on Nabuki. You want to be on our social media network, Nabuki, at nabuki.com. That way you can find out about all of Punch TV Studios' updates, about our casting calls, about our notices, about when we launch a new television station, and how you, too, can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Before we get started, we're going to stop for a brief commercial break.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
If you are just now tuning in, you do not want to miss this amazing show. Your friends do not want to miss this show. So you want to make sure you tweet it, post it, add it to your network on LinkedIn, Facebook, and let everyone know that you are listening to Changing the Conversation. If you're on the line listening live to the show and you love to join the conversation, please press 1. So we know that you like to jump into the punch bowl. If you're listening to the show on your computer and you like to join the conversation, give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Now, we have a great show for you today. It's going to take us into the weekend, so we're going to go ahead and bring our first guest, Ms. Brittany Sherwood. Ms. Brittany Sherwood is a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, and she's, you know what? She's joining us in the Punch Bowl. Good morning, Ms. Sherwood. Are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much, Sharifa.
You are very welcome. Thank you for joining us in the Punch Bowl. You know, they tell us that it can get crazy in here sometimes. So, you know, we need a therapist, a nurse practitioner every now and then. So let us know what you do and how you can be of service.
Awesome. So I am a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, and what that means is that I am a nurse first and foremost. I received my RN degree, and then I went and completed a master's program specific to psychiatry and am able to diagnose, do talk therapy, as well as prescribe medications. I really love working with people who have had not the best experiences beforehand. I'm not necessarily feeling listened to a lot of times by various previous psychiatric providers. I really love to work with those patients and get them where they want to be, because that's my goal.
Okay, and when you say where they want to be, where would you say is where they should be or where they need to be?
I would say that if they're coming to me, they're not where they want to be. And for each person, that's, of course, individual. So, for example, I always give my patients the example that if they wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and they enjoy that because they wake up and they exercise and they like that, I'm not going to try to help them sleep in later. I don't have any skin in this game. It's really about what they want and what is not working for them.
Okay. I mean, that definitely makes sense. I don't know if you've seen or you're a fan of Suze Orman, but one of the statements that she makes often is that so many people spend too many years with their psychiatrist or with their therapist, and if they aren't helped within a certain amount of time, then they need to see somebody else. I mean, she's specifically referring to people who, you know, have been going for 10 years or, you know, they've been seeing the same psychiatrist for 15 years, but they haven't made any changes. Now, when people come to you, are there I don't want to say immediate results, because I know there are no quick fixes, but do you see your patients for years and years?
So, no, but that's probably mostly because I have not been doing this for years and years and years. So I have, you know, it's not necessarily possible. I will say that something that I do a little bit different, fairly different than other psychiatric providers, I do a lot of psychoeducation. So I really want patients to be autonomous and to make their own decisions, but they can't make those decisions unless they're educated about them. So if we're deciding between two or three different medications for something, I'll go in and explain each one. And it's, you know, it's up to them what they feel is the best combination of risks and benefits. And I think that decision-making that's involved on the part of the patient is something that helps with the buy-in. So if you're committed to taking your medication every day, if you're committed to engaging in talk therapy, however often we decide, then that's the most important thing, instead of it being solely about the specifics of the medication or type of therapy. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. But again, back to, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but one of the things that Suze Orman says is that it's like taking your car to an auto mechanic. You know, you'll take your car to an auto mechanic, get your tune-up, get your repair, you know, your brakes need to be done. But you're not going to go take your car to the auto mechanic once a week for the next 10 years. At that point, there's something in you that says, okay, there's a problem, and this auto mechanic doesn't have the ability to fix this problem or to resolve this problem or to assist me in resolving this situation. So do you feel it's the same thing? You know, you may not have been in business for you know, 20 years or 15 years, maybe, you know, only a few years, but do you reach a point where you feel that maybe this session or this experience is not benefiting this person, and they're just coming more out of routine or more to maybe just sit on the couch and talk to someone who could possibly be, you know, maybe they can go talk to their friend, their pastor, as opposed to coming to see you often.
Yeah. So I think something that's important to touch on is that a lot of confusion exists about who does what in mental health. So see patients for 1 hour once a week. That's not the relationship I'm able to have with my patients because I do medication as well. You know, I also don't do the traditional 5 minute, here's your refill out the door type of appointments. Normally I see patients for about half an hour once a month. There's homework assignments that I give them. Normally I do a quick check-ins over this time period, but normally it's about 30 minutes once a month. And I will say that I've had patients who have come to me and have worked with someone before me for 15 years, and they come to me and I realize that the diagnosis is just, it's not accurate. So I think that that's where a lot of issue comes in, is that obviously you cannot adequately treat a disorder if you don't know what disorder you're treating. And then on top of that, if you have to kind of think about mental health and then particularly psychiatry with the medication aspect as a chronic condition, a more lifetime type of condition. So, for example, someone with depression is likely to have multiple episodes of depression throughout their life. Someone with ADHD is not likely to not have ADHD anymore, which is why they may see someone for long, long periods of time. I try to encourage patients to think of it like diabetes or high blood pressure or asthma. It's a long-term chronic condition, and you have to be prepared for that reemergence later on as well.
Okay, so we're going to jump topics a little bit. Let's discuss Trump. There are a lot of people who, and I've seen different research that have stated since Trump came into office, there has been an increase in PTSD and in mental illness as a direct result of Trump being in office. I don't know if it's because of the feeling, the tone, or what's going on. But what would your thoughts as a professional be to the increase of mental illness? You know, because some people may say, hey, you know, they're afraid, they're scared, you know, about the economy, the world, and what's going on. There's a, you know, I don't want to be a doomsday type person, but there are a lot of people who feel as if there's an increase and medical professionals have done the research in cases of PTSD.
So I'm not familiar with the research specifically that you're talking about, but I know that in discussions with colleagues, that has definitely been the case for all of us, that there has been an increase in services. I think the thing to remember is that really what comes into place psychiatrically is that it's a combination of genetics, biology, plus psychosocial stressors. So if you lose your job and you lose your house and your boyfriend breaks up with you, that's a massive amount of stress. And if you have a predisposition for any sort of mental health issues, then it's going to come out during that time. And I would say for many of us who are not, I'll put it like this, who are not people who voted for Donald Trump, we probably have a similar amount of stress that has come from that unknown fear with this person as our president.
Do you have any recommendations? How can people ease the fear? How can people, and it may be people who voted for Trump or didn't vote for Trump, but there are people on both parties who feel as if let me see the correct words to speak for the people, but that one way or another, there's a certain fear that's in the air. So what do they do? Are there any suggestions, recommendations? How do they relieve that stress? Or are you saying, okay, consult a professional?
So I think that if I were to say consult a professional, that would not be doing service to anyone really, especially considering the lack of qualified mental health professionals that are affordable and have availability. So I don't, well, that's, you know, of course that is a great thing if you can, but I don't think many people can, you know, get that, actually be able to see a professional. So something that I highly recommend, and I've been doing the entire presidency actually, is I've been keeping a journal because I realized myself that I was likely to fall into a trap of negative thinking and fear and catastrophizing everything. So I started doing a journal where I just write down the date, and then I write down the day of the presidency, and then I write down one good thing that happens each day. It could be food I ate. It could be something I saw. It could be, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything. And then I write down what thing I did that was for the greater good. So I will, donate money, or I will offer, or I will do a free session for a patient who cannot afford it, or I do those types of things. And then it's nice because then I can look back and see, like, on Sunday, June 25th, which was day 156 of the presidency, I did a lot of watercolor painting for the first time, which I've been doing for fun self-care. And then I donated $1 for 5 square feet of restored prairie for bison in Illinois. And that just is a way for me to see visually and objectively that I'm not just sitting by. I'm actually actively engaging in trying to make the world for myself and the future a better place.
There are some people, again, we like to talk for the people. We don't speak for the people. But there are some people who feel that in today's society there are too many people who are over-medicated. Now, the things that you just mentioning, the journaling and the positive thoughts,
what are your thoughts on, you know, people being over, on people who say that too many people are over medicated? Let me just refine that question. I mean, because it seems like in today's society, it's very easy for us to give someone a pill to solve a problem. He has ADHD. Here's the pill to fix that. She has bipolar. Mm-hmm. Here's the pill to fix that. I mean, but some things that people have, like you mentioned, can be helped by journaling or writing or positive thinking.
Mm-hmm. So I think it comes back to what's called evidence-based practice, which is, practicing as research and as the evidence tells us is the most effective. So, for example, someone with a mild depression or anxiety would definitely benefit from these things and doesn't really need to be medicated for those conditions. Now, when you get to moderate and severe type of severity, the best, most evidence behind it, research shows, is a combination of medication and talk therapy and these other types of interventions. I always tell patients that, you know, you kind of have to, the medicine helps you get to the point where you can get these other tools under your belt and have time to really practice them and understand how they work and really institute them as part of your routine. Without the medication, a lot of times it's too difficult to sometimes get out of bed in the morning. And if you can't even get out of bed in the morning because of depression, how are you supposed to be able to go and exercise as part of treatment for depression? You know, the medication makes it so that you're able to actually actually start getting those habits down. I do hear always what people say, and I do have a lot of patients that come to me and are on quite a large number of meds and are not happy about those medications and the number of medications they're on. And like I've said before, you know, I have no skin in this game. My job is to provide patients with the best possible care. And part of that, I truly believe, is autonomy and making your own decisions and being in control of your health. So many times I will ask if someone, you know, if someone is experiencing auditory hallucinations and hears God talking to them. For example, a lot of times people would assume that medicating them is not what the patient would want. If you talk to your or see your dead child, of course you would assume that that would be a positive thing. But I always make sure to ask about that. And I've never had a single patient tell me that they like their hallucinations. I've had a couple that have told me that they see spirits and that it's a cultural thing. And I'm not going to medicate someone for a cultural reason. But again, it comes down to what is upsetting, what is not helpful for the patient, and what is interfering in their lives. And, you know, at the same time, we have to remember that, you know, quick to give someone a pill is not only in psychiatry and mental health. It is in all of, in pretty much every condition. Take something like diabetes and high blood pressure. Again, those things can a lot of times be helped with diet and exercise. But we don't have the time. Most people don't have the time or the money to do the appropriate amount of diet and exercise that's needed for getting that under control. And if the option is not having it under control or using a pill to have it under control, I think, you know, it comes down to what's the best for the patient, what's the healthiest, and it has to be the pill at that point.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is if they're channeling deceased cousin Johnny and they're okay with that, that's one thing. But if they're hallucinating and they're seeing the zombies apocalypse and it's frightening to them, then that's a different issue.
Right. You know, and it could be that, but it could be that someone is seeing zombies and is okay with it, and someone is seeing dead cousin Johnny and it's really scary for them, even though it is dead cousin Johnny, and it is a little comforting. It's scary, and I didn't realize this even. I didn't even realize until I really started working with severely mental ill patients who had severe hallucinations and would ask about it, and I would have assumed that someone would be that someone liked one of their hallucinations certain times, but when I ask, it's like, oh no, I do not. This is not fun for me. This is scary. This is not okay.
That is very interesting. What we like to do is one of the articles that we had the other day, which was actually on our social media network, Nabuki.com, dealt with mental illness. I definitely would invite you to check out Nabuki, our social media network. There's a blog article, which I am going to now, which is entitled, Have You Checked Into Your Mental Health Lately? And I'm going to reshare this article just for you on our social media network. Nabuki, I would love to hear your feedback, your thoughts. Again, Nabukia's NABUKIE.com. It is entitled, Have You Checked Into Your Mental Health Lately? But it also talks a little bit about the media and the Kardashians and the Black China issue and how it affects different people. I would love for you to take a look at it if you have a chance and have an opportunity and kind of weigh in on the article, any thoughts that you may have. But mental illness is definitely something that we take serious. We would love to be able to work with you, and maybe, you know, there is something that we can do as far as a referral basis, because we always like to work with the people that we know and are a part of what we are doing. But again, if you check out that article that I just shared on our social media network, we definitely appreciate that. And we also like to thank you for joining us this morning in the Punch Bowl.
Thank you so much, Sharifa. I see the article, and I will definitely take a look at that now.
Well, you are very welcome. You have a wonderful day, and we have to stop for a brief commercial break.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabukie.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabukie? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabukie.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabukie?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
If you are just now tuning in, then you have missed out on a lot. You missed out on the first 30 minutes of an amazing, amazing, amazing show. We had the opportunity to ask some deep questions, profound questions, from a professional psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. And we got the real answers that you have to listen to the whole show to hear. We have another guest who's going to be on the show. But before we do that, we want to make sure you don't miss anything else. So if you are listening on the line and you want to join the conversation, please press 1. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to jump into the Punch Bowl, give us a call, 657-383-1974, 657-383-1974. So while we're waiting for our next guest to come on and bring him on, we're going to invite you to tweet the show. Post it, put it on your LinkedIn, share it on your Facebook, text your friends, and let them know you're listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, and your co-host, Sharifa Hardy. Now, our next guest is an award-winning speaker. He's the author of the Dallas Morning News bestseller book, Man Talk. We have the honor and the privilege of having Mr. Chris Howell on the show this morning. Are you with us this morning, Mr. Howell?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am with you. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Yes, we have the golden voice of Mr. Howell on Changing the Conversation this morning. I'm just reading all the notes. That golden voice is what they told me about.
Oh, is that what they told you?
That's in my notes.
I hope it sounds golden this morning.
Are you going to tell us?
Every morning is not golden, okay?
It's Friday. It was Friday. You've been talking all week on your show. Tell us a little bit about your show.
All right. Well, the Chris Howell Show is a show where we aim to move folks beyond where they are by sharing stories of success. I mean, of course, we talk to individuals who have some level of success, and we try to get their habits and best practices that they have applied to their lives to obtain that success. So we try and just allow them to share their story in hopes that our listeners and viewers can take something away from that to move them beyond where they are. So that's what we do with the Chris Howell Show. And I have Chris Howell Communications, which is a marketing and communications firm based here in downtown Dallas, as well as we have the Chris Howell Foundation. And the Chris Howell Foundation aims to raise awareness regarding HIV and AIDS and its continued impact on the African-American community. So a lot going on, but we're glad about it.
It sounds wonderful. What was your motivation to create the foundation?
The foundation stems from my brother, who was 33 years old when he passed away in 2006 due to complications of HIV and AIDS. So it was one of those situations where I always wanted to do something about it because I missed out on years of his life, really because at the time that he contracted the virus, I was ignorant, but I had three young kids at home, and I didn't interact with him because I had thought there was a possibility of some kind of contracting the virus from him and didn't want to pass that on to my children. So we lost years of his life, and it wasn't until the latter years when really he was confined to a nursing home that we tried to really embrace him and understand what it was he was going through. But he really needed us when he was first detected the virus. He needed that support system. So after obtaining some level of a platform, I thought, you know, here's an opportunity for me to help other families from not going through something similar to this. So we use our platform now to, again, just raise the awareness, try and decrease the stigma that's associated with HIV. Because, I mean, that's part of the reason a lot of folks don't acknowledge the fact that they're virus or that they're positive or don't share it with their family members because, again, all the stigma that's associated with it. So it was in doing an interview for World AIDS Day with a lady that I learned of National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. And she talked about the fact that she had been positive for years but never disclosed to her family members because she wasn't a drug user. She wasn't a prostitute or promiscuous in any way. But her husband, who she had met a guy in church, they were together for 9 months. And then on her one-year anniversary, she received a positive diagnosis. And she never wanted to share that because she just didn't know how her family would receive it. And then I really felt compelled at that time to say, you know what, we're going to go beyond doing a video. We're actually going to now start doing community events. And that was, the birth and the launch of the Chris Howell Foundation. January 2016, we've been doing a number of events here in Dallas to just really kind of raise that awareness.
Wow, that is so wonderful. I mean, that is wonderful. I hope that we can find a way to work together to broaden the awareness of what you're doing. I had a close friend of mine, Eddie. I loved Eddie. Eddie was this little Hispanic guy who was always had everybody laughing. He was just, I mean, everybody who knew Eddie loved Eddie. And
yes.
Eddie passed away from HIV in 2010. Now, what was so difficult for all of Eddie's friends and family was that he was diagnosed with HIV approximately 2 years, I believe, before he passed away. And he was fine for maybe the first year and a half. But the last 6 months of his life, he just deteriorated. And before he was ill, he was really outgoing. He was all over the place, and he lived alone. So the last 6 months of his life, he had to move in with his mother. Now, his mother, you know, not judging his mother, we all try to do the best for our children, but his mother was she went to church every Sunday, a real strong believer, you know, had a lot of faith, wonderful woman. But the last 6 months of his life, when he moved into his mother refused to allow him to see the majority of his friends because the majority of his friends were homosexual. And she said that he had changed his life. He had accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he was no longer homosexual. Now, the issue personally that I had with that is that when, and this is just my personal, I'm going to go on the record, this is not a Punch TV studio statement, this is Sharifa Hardy speaking, but my own personal thoughts were that when a person is dying, they're neither straight nor homosexual, they're just dying, you know, and when you are losing your life, the only thing that really matters to me is friends and family. So he had to go through everything that he was going through with the people that he had loved and lived with all his life, his friends. I mean, some of his friends he'd known since he was a kid, but at the hardest point of his life, he was literally all alone. And I thought that was so, you know, heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, Sharifa, what you just pointed out is exactly the reason. Again, it's the reason for the Chris Howell Foundation, because, again, like you talked about, my brother really needed that support system. He needed us to rally around him, just like Eddie. He needed those friends, regardless of their sexual preference or what have you. Those were friends of his. Those were that was a part of his support system that he really relied on, if nothing else, but to get information in terms of what's going on in terms of treatment. Some of those very friends may have had knowledge and information that could get him better access to treatment and medication and things that would really help him. But mom cut him away from that. So, again, that's what we try to really emphasize, is that if someone is diagnosed as positive, we really need to make sure they have folks that they love and care about and love and care about them to rally around them and support them and be there to encourage them to go to their doctor's appointments, to encourage them to seek out better treatment if the treatment they're currently receiving is not working for them. But to really try, again, it's not an immediate death sentence, but it can become one if, in fact, you don't have that support system in place that you need to make it through it. You know, as a result of us not being there for my brother, well, he resorted to doing drugs and hanging out in the streets and partying more, as opposed to saying, okay, now I've got this diagnosis, let me get into treatment, let me put myself in an environment that's going to nurture my health and continue to give me the long life that I desire, as opposed to shrinking back and just giving in to this virus.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, when you're going through anything, you know, but it's like we allow people to feel pain. Oh, you have cancer. Oh, my God, let me be here for you. You know, you have diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, let me be here for you. You have HIV later. I'll see you later. Like, go over there. I'll be over here. But we do not use the same compassion for HIV and AIDS that we use for any other disease.
You know, I'll tell you, and it's so surprising, and we have found that to really be the case since we've really jumped into this and started doing this, how, again, here in 2017, we are still so ignorant in terms of how this virus is transmitted and how we really do shun people away and really don't rally around them to try to show them the love and support, as you just described. And it's really something that we've got to work on, because it's those very things that are allowing people not to even be tested. And the reason we're continuing to see the numbers increase, particularly here in Dallas County, I mean, we're leading our state in the number of new HIV infections and have been for a number of years. And it's because of the stigma that's associated with it. So then people don't even want to be tested. They know there's a possibility they could have contracted the virus if they haven't used protection when engaging in sex, but they don't even want to be tested. So we're encouraging people, at least know your status, know your partner's status. And if indeed you are positive, there are things that you can do to still live a long and healthy life. But you, first of all, have to start with knowing your status. So go get tested.
Absolutely. Go get tested. But the other thing that we want to take from this conversation, if nothing else, is just have some compassion, some love, concern.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many people who are at the church, not the church, love the church, but every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday. But the message that they don't hear is, out of all these things, the greatest is love. You know, love for your brother man. Love for, you know, compassion for their situation. Like you were talking about the lady who married her husband in the church and had this diagnosis. You know, it's not always because of the choices and the decisions and, you know, we're living this wild lifestyle, but we're judging their lifestyle and we're making this it's harder for people, harder than it has to be. So I definitely applaud you and what you're doing with your organization. So we touched that on that for a moment, but I also don't want that to be the entire focus of what you're doing. So the other thing with your show, what we would love to do is to find a way to have our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, either come on your show in person or come visit you or sit down with you, because we are always in Dallas. He's always in Dallas. Our transfer agent is in Plano, Texas. So
okay. I'd love
Mr.
to have
Collins
him on.
I'd
love to
look at
some of the stuff that you guys are doing, and I'd love to have him on.
Absolutely. One of the big things that we're doing right now, which is just huge, is we're launching on KILM in Los Angeles, covering Southern California on August 1st. So that puts us in over 16 million more homes. This is huge,
man,
because for Punch TV Studios, we are the only African-American-owned full-power station in America.
Yes.
That's huge.
And you know what? So, I applaud you guys for what you're doing. I mean, because you're doing a tremendous work, and you're being the voice for organizations like ours to really get out there and share what it is we're doing. Because so many times folks are looking for things to get involved with, but if they don't hear about them, they don't have a way to actually engage with it. So I applaud you guys on the work that you're doing to be that voice for the African-American community. But I'll even extend it even beyond the African-American community. When you talk about 16 million homes, those are not just African-American homes. Those are homes in general, and those are families and lives and communities that need the information that you guys are sharing.
Absolutely. That's why we did the IPO, our initial public offering, at $1 per share to the urban community in general. It was not a Black Lives Matter initiative. It was not just for the black people. It was for the urban community. And it was because in the urban community, a lot of other communities have the opportunity to invest in an IPO. They're investing. They're changing their lives. They're changing the lives of their great-great-grandchildren. That's what we want to do at Planet TV Studios. We want to create opportunities. We want to create jobs for people who otherwise would not have this opportunity. But even more than that, what we're doing here is we're creating television shows and we're creating movies from the lives of ordinary people. So when you speak about your brother, you know, it's like so weird. I can go anywhere, speak to anyone, and I see a movie. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, I can see that movie, you know. So when you speak about your brother, I'm seeing this movie and I'm seeing this story about a man who's going through this situation all alone, and he's away from his family. And yet in his final days, there's a certain, what's the word I'm looking for, a certain redemption, a certain way where the family comes back and says, hey, you know what, we may not have been there, but we're here now, you know. So you want to tell that story. You want to tell what led up to that, because there's so many people that we had an opportunity. We went to, Mr. Collins received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Love a Senior Day. And we met so many seniors that had so many wonderful stories that would have died with them if we didn't have an opportunity to interview these seniors. I mean, we met the oldest living senior in California. How many stories do they have to tell? We met the oldest living pilot. You know, these are the stories that we want to be able to tell.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you touched on that, because I say all the time, we are allowing too many folks to leave here without really engaging them and learning from them and that wisdom that they know. We need to really spend time loving on even our family members and loved ones. Those gray hairs, they earn those gray hairs, and we owe it to ourselves to sit down and have conversations with them before they leave here to gain that wisdom. Because as we see it now, it doesn't look like, you know, we're going to have a whole lot more of that. So we need to make sure before they leave here that we get the information and then be able to pass that on to this next generation in hopes that they may embrace some of it and carry it on into their later years.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is what we're doing here at Punch TV Studios. So what are some of the things that you have coming up? Any events, any shows? What is it that your main focus is right now?
Well, we're getting ready to go. July 23rd, we'll be taping again. And what we're doing right now is we've done our shows with Joel Osteen, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and all of the celebrities. We've talked with some of them. What we're starting to focus on now really is engaging the folks here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because one of the things that we noticed is we kind of started out and really didn't share as much information with the local folks as we need to. So we're starting to interview some of our local leaders and officials to talk about where we take the city of Dallas. You know, I've had the opportunity to travel quite a bit, and the more I travel, I say the more I fall in love with Dallas. But Dallas, in many ways, has a reputation from around the country as being what's the word I'm looking for? I guess not as embracing as it should be, and we're really trying to change that. You know, many folks can move here from other places, and they say, you know, Dallas doesn't really have a culture. It really doesn't have a vibe. And we're really trying to help to define that as best we can, because I feel that it does. But I think it's really getting the folks to come out and speak more about that. And in areas where we are weak at that, let's look at how we improve in that area. So when folks come here from other places, they really do feel that, hey, you know what, I'm not really missing a whole lot, not being in Chicago or Atlanta or wherever home was for them at that time. This is my new home, and I'm going to embrace this community and the culture that's now in Dallas and move forward with that. So we're trying to really focus more on actually featuring a lot of local individuals that really have some impact in the city. And that's what we'll be doing on July 23rd with Chris Howell Communications. We're still just producing independent projects for companies and organizations that are telling their story.
And so is that the show on July 23rd, or will you be out somewhere interviewing?
That's the show. That's the show. And okay, folks can actually, I never even said, folks can actually catch episodes of the show at ChrisHowellOnline.com. ChrisHowellOnline.com, you'll see some interviews that we've done, again, with Joel Osteen, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and some other officials here in Dallas. But then July 23rd, will we upload, after July 23rd, give us about a week. After that, we'll be uploading new shows from these local individuals that we're featuring, talking about the culture and vibe in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, so I see that you've done some amazing interviews. You mentioned Joel Osteen. We didn't mention the interview with Oprah Winfrey, but I'm going to mention that because, you know, I'm a huge Oprah Winfrey fan. But you've done so many different wonderful interviews. So let me just ask you, usually when people have interviewed certain level of celebrities, they tend to say there's a certain theme that runs through the interviews. Like, usually successful people say you have to be determined or you have to be focused, or there's usually something that most successful people say. Have you found that to be true, or was there any theme, running theme that kind of went through your interviews?
I will tell you, I have found that to be true, and the thing that I would say has been the most consistent out of all of them is that you have to feel the fear and do it anyway. All of them have said they didn't think that they could do it. They didn't really know, they weren't for sure that they were going to be successful with it. But they moved beyond the fear, and they did it anyway. And no, it was not easy, but each day they got up and put one foot in front of the other and continued to do it. And that rings most true with Joel Osteen. You know, he inherited this church from his father. He was a camera guy. He came in there. He was like, these people don't want to hear from you. You haven't been to seminary. What do I have to share with these thousands of people who are literally looking for me to be a preacher? And I'm a guy who was running a camera. So he said, you know, he had to just embrace that fear and understand that this is the position he's been placed in. So each Sunday he had to get up there and tell himself, you can do this. You've prepared, you've studied, and now deliver what God has given you. And now, of course, that was many years ago. So now we see where it's led for him. It's just feel the fear and do it anyway. You may be scared. You may think that you're not going to be successful. You may think that you're not even qualified. But step out there, do it, and it perfect it as you go. And that's been the recurring thing.
But that is definitely words to live by. I mean, I love watching Unsung. I love watching biographies.
Yep.
I'm one of those people that love to learn from the experts. You know, I really believe that we can avoid some mistakes if we learn from the mistakes of others, you know. But it's not only just their mistakes. Sometimes they give you some powerful life lessons that can help you without, you know, even all the mistakes. Like, I tell you one quote that I use every day to this day, every day. But it's a quote that I heard from Oprah Winfrey. And she said that when most people don't know what to do, they have to do something. She said, when I don't know what to do, I don't do anything until I know exactly what to do. And I said, wow, that's deep. And I honestly incorporated that into my life, and it has saved me in so many instances where I honestly didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, my God, I don't know. Should I go left? Should I go right? Am I going up? Am I going down? Like, what am I going to do? And so then when I heard Oprah Winfrey say that, I said, you know what? Peace be still. I'm going to be still until I know exactly the right decision for me to make. Now, I can tell you that doesn't mean that I haven't made mistakes, but it means that my mind, my choice, my decision is a lot clearer than if I would have just rushed to make a decision because people are calling me, are you going to do it? Are you going to do that? Are you going to come? Are you going to get? Okay, well, let me think about it. Let me figure out what I want to do. Let me figure out what's in my best interest, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with that, and I think certainly you have to – the point that you just made there in the latter part of that is you have to determine what lines up with your destiny that's been aligned for you. You can't jump on everyone else's bandwagon because you're right. You wouldn't have that clarity because you're so caught up in all the other things that everyone else is doing that you don't have clarity and focus on what it is you're supposed to be doing that will ultimately get you to the destiny that's been designed for you. So I agree. Certainly don't just jump out there and just do something because you feel you have to do something. However, I also will say, now, don't become paralyzed so long to where you sit on the side of the road and you never do anything. Now, as you go and you sit and you seek counsel and you pray about it and you believe that you have a sense of clarity, then move in that direction. But don't sit so idle by that to where you never do anything, because I think sometimes we get paralyzed either by fear or by the fact that we feel that we don't know what to do. So we become stagnant and years have passed us by and we have not done anything. So I would just challenge folks, yes, certainly pull away, get clarity. Once you have a sense of clarity in the direction in which you're supposed to move, then certainly make a move at that time. Yeah, don't become paralyzed, because that's the thing that happens with most people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what they don't understand is
they use the excuse of not knowing what to do is to never do anything.
Absolutely. And what they don't understand is that no decision is a decision. You know, at some point in time, you have to make a decision on what you want in your life. So that's why, again, I want to applaud you. I wish that I wish your foundation, your organization, everybody that you touch around you continue to be blessed, because you're being a blessing to other people. So I'm just I would like to invite you to join us on the Bookie. Nabuki is our social media network. That's NABUKIE.com. And at Nabuki, what we do is for all of our friends, family, supporters, investors of Punch TV Studios, so that you can find out not only what we're doing, but we can stay on top of what you're doing. So when your show launches or when you're out somewhere or your foundation is doing an event, we can help you and put the full force of Punch TV Studios behind what you're doing.
Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I will certainly join it and certainly share your information as well. And I would love the opportunity to sit with Joseph whenever he's in Dallas, or if we need to jump on Skype and do something even prior to that, I'm okay with doing that as well. So you guys just let me know, you know, what works best for you all.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to reach out to you. I want to thank you for taking your time to join us today in the Punch Bowl.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have such an amazing show today. Today's show is great, TGIF. We had a psychiatrist. We talked about life. Have to rest, because this has been a very exciting week. We've talked to quite a few people, but guess what? We will be back on Monday. Monday through Friday, we are here in the Punch Bowl. This is an opportunity for everyone who has a question or a comment on what we're doing here at Punch TV Studios to make your voice heard. If you don't want to call in and speak to us, feel free. Visit us on Nabuki, NABUKIE.com. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know how you think we're doing. We are in the process of a $50 million IPO. This is something that you definitely wants to be a part of. So we invite you to visit our website at PunchTVStudios.com. And don't go to the website alone. Get a friend. Call a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, your boss, your spouse, and let them know to invest in Punch TV Studios at only $1 per share. Next Monday, same time, 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, on Changing the Conversation.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.